Buccaneers fans, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on, and it is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Get 0% APR financing, 0% for up to 72 months, plus up to $20,000 off MSRP. This applies to a lot of different models, and they're kicking it all off here with their Memorial Day sales event, which is incredible. View the inventory at BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name, Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E. And they've got something for everyone, and that Ira Kaufman discount always applies. Of course, nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles, and they will pick you up and bring you in for sales or for service. So if you want to shop, not having a vehicle is no excuse. If you want to get your car fixed, you can bring your car in, get a loaner. You can find out all about that at BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan will help you personally if you need it. Shoot him an email. You can find him at BillCurryFord.com as well. And the Sage is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee Dekepper of JoeBucksFan is here as well. And of course, Ira is the king of Newport Richie. He's the man. He's fired up. We're actually recording two podcasts today, so it's an interesting day. We'll have these out real soon as we sit here on Tuesday. Florida's Elite Restoration is the other name you need to know right now. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are fantastic. They are your source when you have any sort of disaster at your property. Flood damage, water is a killer, mold, fire, storm damage. Storm season is almost here. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Check them out. They're fantastic. Family owned, amazing reviews. They cover the entire Bay Area, and they've got all the great technology. They're going to give you a free evaluation in your home, a free estimate of your damage. And they'll tell you what you need to do to restore it. And they will fight with your insurance company to make sure you get the money that you deserve to restore that property. There's a lot of corruption in the industry. You got to go with someone you can trust. They're friends of ours here at the podcast, as loyal listeners know. Josh Martin, fantastic owner operator of Florida's Elite Restoration. He's also offering a discount for Joe Bucks fan listeners, Ira Kaufman listeners. Just when you call, when you have that problem, tell them where you heard about Florida's Elite Restoration. And if you need their services after an evaluation, a professional team coming out to see what's up, if you do need their services and go with them, he'll give you $500 back for your deductible, or maybe that's just cash back. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. All right. So now it's time to get to the guest of honor, the Sage. Ira, you've been a busy man. You're going under the knife next week. We're all thinking of you, but there's been plenty of Buck stuff going on. Defensive coaches, offensive coaches, Jason Light hitting the national airwaves. How are you, Ira?
I'm doing well. Has Light turned down an interview request in 2024? Steve, he is everywhere. I think he's going to keep going. And I guess rookie minicamp, Lee, is right around the corner. I can't believe it. I mean, we're like 4 months away from the start of the regular season. Boy, time goes really fast. And the Bucs are feeling very good about themselves, Steve. And I guess we'll talk about what some of these assistant coaches had to say about the state of the Buccaneers.
Before we get to the assistant coaches, one thing I wanted to mention is, I mentioned the interviews. Light was on with Adam Schein on SiriusXM Mad Dog Radio, and it doesn't seem like he's turned down too many interviews, which is good. Hey, the more he talks, the better, and it always seems like we're the only media outlet that listens, which is good too, I guess. It keeps us a little more informed. But what did you think? Lee wrote this up, Sage. What did you think of Light saying, I didn't think that there was going to be a snowball's chance in hell that Graham Barton was going to be there at our pick? And so, you know, Light talked about the board slid, it fell. He was trying to move up. He admitted he tried to move up, trade up. Didn't work out, and that worked out for him. Would he have given up the third round pick that was Jalen McMillan, the receiver that people are excited about at $1? Would it have been a fourth round pick? Who knows? He traded a fourth round pick when he moved up for one spot for Tristan Wirfs a couple of years back. Here he might have been trying to move up two or three spots. I don't know. What do you make of that? And does that sort of play into the evaluation of, hey, the rest of the league didn't think of this guy what you did, Jason?
I wouldn't consider it a shocker, Steve, that Martin was there at 26. Most people had a first-round grade on him. Light stuck to his guns when he couldn't swing the trade. He didn't sweeten the pot. Apparently, he got the guy they wanted. I could just imagine our man, Lee Dekemper here. Lee, imagine if offensive lineman, Lee, you would have been out of your mind.
No.
Bad enough that they took one at 26, but moving up and taking one at 21 or 22. Steve, as far as that line from Light that you couldn't believe the Buck fortune, that Barton was still there. Steve, I say this only half facetiously. I'm not sure he didn't say the same thing about Logan Hall. So let's not go crazy over here. That Logan Hall was still there early in the second round for the Bucks to grab. You might have said it about Soyinka with the final pick in the first round 3 years ago. I didn't think it was a massive surprise that Barton was there.
Wait a minute. So I know I'm not talking about you, Ira. I'm talking about Jason Light said this. Do you think he's lying?
It's hyperbole. Just like I think the idea that he was the guy that they had targeted since the first pick went off the board, I think that's hyperbole. Lee, I still believe if a guy like Verse, maybe even a Chop Robinson, Lee, I think they would have considered taking one of those two guys instead of Barton had they been there at 26. I believe that because, Lee, that pass rush deficiency, it could sink this team this year. Despite all of Bowles' acumen and disguise and coverages and everything, Lee, at some point you gotta have the bodies, and I'm not sure they have the bodies. They're counting on guys to step up. We don't know that Diaby can match what he did or supplant it year two with guys coaching against Diaby. It's not a surprise anymore. So you gotta take some of these things with a grain of salt. He's the guy we targeted all along. We're never gonna know, Lee. We're never gonna know. I think they're happy that they got Barton, but was he the guy that they considered all along? I'm not buying that.
I think you're right, Ira, in the sense that, it's a little bit, I don't want to come out and say, flat out and say hyperbole, because that insinuates something else. I think it's more to build up Barton's confidence. Hey, you know, we like you. Excuse me, we would have traded up to get you. You know? So I think it's more of that than it, and it makes them look good. It makes the organization look good. Like, whoa, we thought he was going to be top five pick, and he somehow got down to us, you know. We heard the same thing about Jay Howard. So, and God forbid, Barton's the next OJ Howard. Lord help us, that didn't happen.
Steve, one more thing on Barton. Maybe I'm taking this too far, but all this conjecture, you know, wait a minute. He could end up being a guard for us. We'll plug him in with Malk, and he'll be the other guard. Steve, the way I'm reading it right now, he's going to get every chance to win the freaking center job, which to me, if you don't win it, that speaks volumes. From what I've seen the last couple of years. And if he ends up starting at guard, that means, still means it's a good draft pick, Steve. But I think, ultimately, if he doesn't win the center job, which he's going to have every opportunity to do, I think that's a disappointment from a franchise perspective. Win the job. It's your job. Go get it. That's the way I'm looking at it.
All right, important question here for you. I'm going to read you the full quote, which I probably should have done before, and I'm just going to ask you a simple yes or no, Ira, before we go on to your comment about Barton right there, about the center, which was clarified a little bit yesterday and by Jason Light as well on radio. Here's the quote from Light. Quote, "And I will be quite honest with you. I didn't think that there is going to be a snowball's chance in hell that Barton was going to be there at our pick." Is he lying or not, Ira?
That's a strong word, Steve.
It's not a strong word when the GM says, "I will be quite honest with you."
It's GM speak. The three of us have seen this for 20 years. It doesn't change. And Light's not the only guy that does this. It happens across the league. You make a draft pick late in the first round, and what do you say that night when you get the guy, or a week later when you're doing the round of talk shows? You say, number one, that's the guy we targeted all along. We're thrilled to have him. And number two, we still can't believe that the guy was there. Lee, everybody does it. And do I believe him 100%? No, I do not.
All right. So it was a little clarified this week. Jason Light backed off and said, we're going to, Barton will be at center. And then if it doesn't work out, we'll move him. Now, what does doesn't work out mean? That's the part I don't understand. Because we all know, Ira, Lee, we know that nobody's supposed to touch anybody until probably August 1st. And then what? How much opportunity does he get to show that he can play center? then there's the fact that does not working out mean if the other guys are horrible at guard, we'll move them over because we know at least Tainsy can be decent. And the coaches were saying that too. So why are they doing this? I mean, how does that instill confidence in Barton telling him that, hey, you didn't play guard in college. You were a tackle and a center, but if you don't work out at center, who knows how long that'll be. We'll move you over. I mean, Lee, have you ever heard anything like this before?
Sort of. I mean, what hasn't that been kind of Light's MO with offensive linemen the last few years? At least, you know, when he was first hired as GM, they drafted Marpet. He'll be a guard, but sooner or later he's going to be a center. So we sort of have heard this before. But it's odd that this manna from heaven that somehow was there at 26 that blew your mind, but you're not sure he could start at center. Well, wait a minute here. Either this is a miracle on, you know, a miracle on grass that he's there at 26 and he's plug and play, or maybe he's not that good and we don't know, but we, you know, at worst he can play guard. I mean, it's mixed messages, and I don't understand why that is. I mean, I appreciate the honesty. If you believe they're being honest, I'm not saying Light's lying. I'm more inclined, like Iris says, it's more GM speak. But if this guy is so damn great that you can't believe he was there at 26, so why the waffling on where he's going to play? That's strange to me.
I think Lee's making a great point. To me, there's a little bit of a disconnect to say he's the guy we targeted all along and we can't believe that he was still there at 26. And the next thing you say is, basically, we're not sure what position the guy can play. They should be given more confidence going forward, heading into OTAs, about Barton being the center. That's our center. That's where we project him. That's where we want him. And give the guy a little juice going in. Now, Steve, you make an interesting point. How are you going to determine whether Barton can handle the center job with no contact? Well, there's a lot of mechanics involved, Steve. You know that, at the center position. A lot of technique. I'm sure Mayfield will have some input in that guard standing behind Barton during OTAs. But you're right, Steve. To make a definitive call on whether Barton can handle the center responsibilities, you don't want to be making changes during the preseason. Right, Lee? That's a little late. So yeah. I think you should just say Barton's our center. And if the guy just is awful, which I don't expect, then you adjust like with Gedeky. They adjusted. Now, a little bit too late. Because he might have cost them some big plays when he couldn't get the job done at guard. But they realized it. They moved him to right tackle, and he was more than acceptable last year. But I think Barton's the center. I think he was drafted to be the center, Lee. I don't see why they need to waffle about it.
It's really odd to me. Now, with Gedeky, that move happened in the offseason. So he had a full offseason to get ready. They're not doing it with Barton, apparently. At least we don't think they are. But about the waffling at center, the only thing I can think of that they're damn confident he could play guard, and they want to give him a test drive at center. And if he's not up to it, then we got, you know, Haynes, he could flip, you know, obviously very easily.
I have to admit, Ira Lee, I just sat down because I was giving Lee a standing ovation for his presentation of this Barton silliness. Yeah. You know, Lee's dead on. If the guy is a first-round draft pick, and at this position we know it's not the most common thing, or the guy's supposed to be a slam dunk. Well, if they're not sure he's the slam dunk center, then what the hell's going on? And why is there so much mystery? And as you know, Ira, because you said it 8 minutes ago, they're telling Barton that, you know, that Light's, you know, doing GM speak saying, oh, we didn't think there was a shot he was there and we got a steal and he's the guy. But that doesn't jibe with saying, well, if he doesn't work out at center, what? It's just really strange. I think it's important for us to note the strangeness here. And I don't know why there's strangeness. Like, these guys spend all year getting on the same page for the draft. And then the draft ends and they're saying six different things about one guy from management to coaches is weird.
Lee, am I wrong? But I'm looking at this roster right now. I'm looking at the depth chart. Lee, you look at the depth chart. Lee, I see a lot more of a competitive situation at that guard spot than I do with the center spot, other than Barton. I mean, I don't see, if Barton doesn't work, so-called work out, snapping the ball to Mayfield, who's going to challenge Haynesy? You know, look, he's not the worst center in the league, Haynesy. but I think they need an upgrade. Lee, I don't see a big competition other than Barton at center, whereas at left guard or right guard, depending on where Mount plays, you got Bredesen, you got Sua, you might even have Hainsey in the mix. You got the sixth-round pick. See the competition at center besides Barton.
Well, these two guys, these two ham and eggers, the Bucks got, remember, it was quote-unquote value free agents. It's like the third or fourth week of free agency. And
right,
the Bucks did
right.
the same thing the previous year. And what happened to those guys? They're not on the roster anymore. So I'm not holding my breath, this Bredesen and this other character who was with the Giants. I'm not right. holding my breath that they're going to come in and be the, you know, the next Ali Marpet. I'm just, I'm sorry. If I'm just looking at the roster, just without watching the practice, nothing else. I heard yesterday one of the coaches say, well, we want the five best guys out there. Right now, I would say my five best guys from left to right, Werfs, Barton, Hainsey, Mauch, Genke. These two guys, the value free agents, be careful about the value.
Most of the time, Lee, those guys are backups. They are backups.
Exactly.
Most of
That's why they were available for cheap.
I'm glad we brought it up. Making it even more complicated and slightly is that Barton has never played guard. So if he does move to guard, he'd be moving in theory like August 20th to a position that he hasn't played. It's bizarre. We'll monitor it, Sage, of course, just like we monitor all the deals at Bill Curry Ford. The Memorial Day sales are going. You have to get there, as we heard before, BillCurryFord.com. And storm season, it's almost June, Ira. It's not, but it's almost there. And that kicks off storm season where you have to be even extra aware of who to call. And as we heard, that's Florida's Elite Restoration 24/7, floridaselite-restoration.com. All right, Sage, look, third-round pick. And if Light, just think if Light had traded up, that fourth-round pick was Bucky Irving, who, you know, a lot of Bucks fans are super excited about, and rightfully so. You know, I'm so glad it worked out the way it did, but maybe it was just BS like the Sage taught us. But the third-round pick, Jalen McMillan, you know, there's been a lot of chatter that, hey, his knee issue is what kept him down in the draft, and he's a total steal. And there was more of this talk at one buck. And so I have to ask you, Sage, is that coach speak? Is that GM speak? Because are we supposed to believe that 31 other teams didn't understand that this guy was healthy already and completely capable of getting back to 100% if he wasn't there already? Obviously, these guys go through the medicals at the combine, and he did finish strong last year. So what should we make of that, guys?
Lee, I think Light took advantage of a very strong wide receiver class.
Bingo.
I think he jumped on McMillan at the right time. He didn't trade up. Lee, the more I think about this guy, McMillan, the more I read about him as a prospect going into the draft. Lee, I think this is a hedge on Chris Godwin.
Oh, yeah.
And in that regard, I think it's a smart one. I think it's a smart one. Am I counting on McMillan to make a significant contribution this fall if Evans and Godwin don't get hurt? No, I'm not. He's got Trey Palmer ahead of him on the depth chart, as he should. And I think Palmer, if used properly, I think he could be a factor. I thought he was fairly impressive last year, and I think you can scheme him up a little bit better than Canales did. But looking ahead, which is part of Light's job, Lee, I'm not sure Godwin gets another contract. We all like Godwin, but, you know, economics plays a role. Age plays a role. Tread on the tire. He's not Mike Evans. Lee, he's not. Never been a number one. From what I can hear, McMillan is a slot receiver. That's his natural fit. Not hearing that Godwin's going to move to slot. So, for this year at least, barring an injury, I don't expect that much out of McMillan, but going forward, Lee, I think he's going to be a big part of this franchise.
Godwin's future with the Bucks, I think, hedges on how well McMillan plays as a rookie. I really believe that. If he impresses, Godwin will be playing for another team in 2025. Everything you said, Ira, is dead on. The team loves Godwin. Excellent player, excellent person. There's nothing not to like about him. One of the best slot receivers in the game, maybe the best slot receiver in the game. I don't know if he's that yet or has been, but he's right there. But economics is a big thing. Age is a big thing, just like you said. So if McMillan shows anything next year, I think Godwin will be playing for another team in 2025. That's just, you know, life in a big city of the NFL and the salary cap. That's just the way it is. McMillan, I did just a little bit of research on McMillan last night, Ira. And by the way, I think, you know, everything the Bucks are saying, had McMillan been healthy last year, he would have been a higher draft pick. Would he have been a second-round pick? I don't know. But he would not have been there where the Bucks are. Had he been playing on a team where there wasn't a logjam at receiver, you know, Washington was loaded at receiver, obviously. So if he was more of a target, let's say if he was playing for a second-tier team, USC, let's say. If he was playing for USC, would he have been a higher pick? Probably. But the thing about McMillan is the thing I ran across last night. The Bucks keep bringing up his knee. You know, he was nicked up last year. His knee, he had trouble with his knee last year, and that's why he fell. And the questions began yesterday from fans and from our readers at JoeBucksFan.com. Well, how bad's his knee? And I did a little research, and in the national championship game against Michigan, damn good defense, McMillan had a game-high 6 catches. So I think it's fair to say he's okay.
Yeah, he might have been the best Washington offensive player that day, Lee, against that's the best defense in the nation, and that's what they rode to a championship. So that kind of production is impressive because Penix was under under a lot of duress that game. He didn't have a lot of time to find these guys, and I think this guy's going to be a good player.
Sage,
that's a great point, Ira. That's a great point I think needs to be flushed out a little bit more. Penix was under pressure, so who was the guy he went to? McMillan. That's a great point.
Sage, a couple of numbers that I think are at least worth thinking about because there becomes all this chatter. Oh, Godwin's moving a slot. Okay. Well, last year, 32% of his snaps were at slot. The year before, 2022, 57% of his snaps were at slot. That's not a gigantic difference. It's significant, but that's not gigantic. And I'm getting this from a reliable site, and you know it's nothing that the Bucks haven't published before. So I'm not sure how different it is. I'd be really curious to know what Godwin really feels about it. You know, just to slightly disagree, I guess a little bit. I think Godwin's really just going to come down to production with no mind toward what anybody else is doing, because if he's playing as much as he usually does, which he probably will, Godwin, he didn't miss a game last year. I mean, that's a lot of targets. Last year, he had 1,000 yards. I just don't think they're going to let him walk out the door if he has his fourth consecutive 1,000-yard season. Who does that in a passing league, Ira?
I'm with you. My only asterisk on Godwin is I want more touchdowns. That's the only thing I say. More targets in the red zone. Now, I know you got Mike Evans, but everybody's looking, you know, to defend Evans when they get in the red zone. Lee, I don't know why you would ever mess with Chris Godwin and take him out of the slot. I don't understand that. As you said, maybe the best slot receiver, you know, among the best handful. He's in the conversation. Lee, superb blocker, willing blocker, very good blocker, makes the contested catches. Lee, he's not a burner. Why would you mess putting him on the outside? I mean, take advantage of what the guy does. He works the middle of the field, Lee. That's what Chris Godwin does. And he's very good at it. Lee, I don't see why you would ever mess with this guy.
He's like a second-tier version of Hines Ward, if you think about it.
That ain't bad. That ain't bad.
No. And Steve, your snap counts, I wouldn't poo-poo that. That's damn near double. 32 to 57%? That's damn near double. I wouldn't poo-poo that. That's pretty big.
Steve, what weren't they saying a year ago that we're going to use Godwin more in the slot? I thought I remembered that a year ago.
Well, that changed, you know, when his wife cried out and, you know, Dave Canales said, oh, we got to relook at that and all that stuff. And yeah, old news at this point, Ira. But yeah, my point was more that, hey, he was still 40% of his snaps, 40 plus percent under the previous regime, with Brady and Leftwich out there. He was still not in the slot 100%. And he may not want to be. And, you know, and physically, that's a brutal game with the different shots over the middle and all the blocking involved. You know, he is, what is this, his seventh year for Chris Godwin? So, you know, not everybody wants to block that much. It would be his eighth year right now. So, you know, who knows? Who knows how that flows out? Sage, the defensive coaches, you know, there we've all, we, you know, we've set the table a million times with Joe Tryon, Shoyinka, and is he a lawn chair? Is he this? Is he that? Does he have anything? Does he have anything left? And we've already talked on the podcast about who might start, how it might go, and whatnot. But with the defensive coaches getting rolled out, was there anything that stood out to you as far as the way they may be looking at the pass rush? Do you have any thought, Ira, about Vita Vea's significant weight loss? It appears he's back to his combine weight, which is 347. He told Rich Eisen he was playing at 360. He said that last year on radio. You know, he looks obviously like a guy who's, you know, lost his gut a little bit, you know, maybe dropped 15, 20 pounds. So I don't know, where do you stand with that and the whole attitude of what you saw from those defensive coaches?
Steve, I am for anything that Vita Vea on the field for more snaps, Lee. I'm for that. If he can get on the field for 10 more snaps a game on average, I think that helps immensely. Even if he's not making the play, Lee, and he makes his share, more than his share, Lee, he's occupying blockers. I think that just helps Kancey immeasurably to do his thing. And when Bay is not there, you know, and Greg Gaines is next to Kancey, it's just not the same. Gaines is not a starter for a reason. The other thing, Lee, that jumped out at me about the defense, and you were there, Lee, you might have fell off your chair when he said it, and I don't want to, you know, mischaracterize what the guy said, Lee, but did I hear a quote about heat-seeking missiles in the secondary? Did I hear that?
I'm guessing you were talking about Jordan Whitehead.
I guess he was talking about the safeties, Lee, because I don't see Jamel Dean as a heat-seeking missile. He might be a scud, but no. I don't see him as a heat-seeking missile. Zach McCollum, while I think he's got quite a bit of potential, he's raw. He needs to raise his game. You know, the corner that came from the Jets, he hasn't proven a lot on the pro level. Steve, he's got to be talking about Whitehead heat-seeking missiles. That might be a little over the top.
Well, it was Kevin Ross who was referring to Jordan Whitehead, so it was not one of his cornerbacks. But he very interestingly said that he thought Whitehead was a massive loss when they did lose him back in after 2021. And he said that he thought Whitehead was the key to the Super Bowl season. Quite a statement there from Kevin Ross, who, of course, a lot of fans may not realize was a two-time Pro Bowl cornerback himself. He also said when he was asked about Jamel Dean, catch the ball. Catch the ball. That will improve your game. Catch the ball. And, you know, I did write up last week, you know, the streak that you won't read at Buccaneers.com, that Jamel Dean has 29 consecutive games without an interception. That's not a coincidence.
Oh, boy. You know, Lee, it seems like every year at this time of season, Lee, we can roll out the Kevin Ross quote, catch the ball. Nothing changes in terms of the cornerbacks. Whether it was Carlton Davis, Dean, McCollum, who hasn't had a lot of opportunities, to be fair, or whoever else you want to mention, Lee, at corner, they don't come down with the football. Now, where I disagree with Ross, Lee, you tell me. I don't think they get their hands on a lot of balls. So I'm not sure it's just a little case of refining your ball skills more often than not. And I think I speak for a lot of Buck fans. More often than not, Lee, and they're wide ass open. You know, I say it all the time, Lee. And it's not a case of the ball tipping off McCollum's hands or Davis or Dean. I don't see it like that, Lee. I don't see where they're that involved. I don't think they're aggressive enough as a group of corners. And as far as Whitehead, Lee, I'll say it one more time, and I can't get an answer. Why the hell would the Jets let Whitehead hit free agency? I don't understand it, Lee.
They're the Jets.
I don't understand. He had three picks in the first game against Josh Allen. The guy's, what, 26 years old, Lee? He's entering his prime. He's not making, you know, Lee, he's not making $18 million, Lee. He's not.
Ira, you answered your own question. It's the Jets. It's like asking, why did Cleveland do this? Why did they think Baker Mayfield couldn't play? And then they went out and signed a quarterback for $50-something million dollars a year who had issues.
You know, give Light credit for jumping on it. You know, I'm sure Bowles was in his office saying, hey, any chance Whitehead could hit free agency? And Lee, they didn't waste any time, nor should they. But as far as heat-seeking missiles from a corner position, Lee, that's way over the top.
Well, in that very same morning where Kevin Ross spoke, so did Larry Foote, inside linebackers coach. And he said, if you can catch the ball, you come out of the womb with the ability to catch the ball. And he sort of, it was a roundabout way of repeating a famous football cliche. If you catch the ball, you'd be a receiver, not a cornerback. And I'm just one of these people, I will quote Bill Walsh. If you play the game the right way, the score will take care of itself. This absolute obsession defensive coaches have for picks. I wish the Bucs would have the same obsession for sacks, because that destroys a drive and prevents points just as much, if not more, than a freaking pick. You know, play defense. Play defense, forcing the punt. Play defense, sack the damn quarterback. You'll prevent points. Just play football the right way, you will do fine. You know, Greg Schiano, I think, what were the Bucs? Second in the league in takeaways, and they started the season 0-8. You know, come on.
Not a bad point, Steve, from Lee, in terms of, Steve, a pass breakup. You know, I'll take a pass breakup. You don't have to pick the ball off. Yeah, it's great if you do. Steve, my overarching complaint about the Bucs pass defense, now granted, the pass rush was not as consistent as Bowles wants it to be. It was not. But having said that, I just don't think they were aggressive enough in their secondary, Steve. And I saw too many guys that were wide open and nobody within 4 or 5 yards of the guy. So how are you going to break up a pass when that's the case?
All right, Sage, I got a final question for you. We're actually doing a rare thing, recording two podcasts today. So we'll be back very soon and continuing on getting in a little bit more depth on what's been happening at One Buck. But the schedule is supposed to come out Thursday is the rumor. Thursday, and then there's also some chatter that at the latest it would be next week, and that the NFL might trickle it out a little bit, like, you know, just to really keep the tease going. So we'll see, Ira, but I wanted to get your opinion because I know you'll have a good one. Now, the Bucs have 9 home games this year and 8 away games, so that gives them a little bonus there. In past years, they've opened on the road recently, and so maybe they get the home game this year, maybe that they open at home with an extra edge. But with these games, which game do you want, Ira, on opening day? Okay, I'm going to skip the division opponents because we know who they are. So that leaves home games with the Ravens, Niners, Raiders, Broncos, and Eagles, and Commanders. And the road games outside the division would be Giants, Cowboys, Chiefs, Chargers, and the Lions. So what do you think may happen? What do you want to see happen?
Well, I was going to say the Atlanta Falcons because I want to take care of business on week one. But you're right. We'll look out of division, Steve. I'm looking at the Commanders because they're going to have a rookie quarterback, Lee. And if it's week one, he's going to be making his NFL debut before he gets comfortable. I want to jump on that rookie quarterback. Now, Lee, we saw what C.J. Stroud did to the Bucs. Now, that was midseason, you know, where he had some success under his belt. So I'm going to go with the Commanders, and if I can't get the Commanders, I want the Raiders. I know they drafted Brock Bowers, and they got another good tight end that they drafted last year. But, Lee, they don't have a quarterback. The Raiders don't have a quarterback, and I like that. Those are my two. The Commanders, who would have the quarterback making his NFL debut, or the Raiders, who scare nobody under center. They got some good play. You know, Max Crosby's a hell of a player. Lee, I think Bowers is going to be outstanding, but they don't have enough. Those are my two picks, Lee. Commanders, Raiders. Although, Lee, if I had my druthers, I would want the Falcons coming to town, take care of business with Cousins before he has more time to recover. But out of division, Commanders or Raiders? What do you got, Lee?
Well, I thought of Cousins too, but your points are more important. I remember reading something from Warren Sharp years ago that rookie quarterbacks, they start turning the corner around anywhere from game 8 to game 10. That's when they start turning the corner. I loved Washington's draft. Absolutely loved Washington's draft. And so I want to get that team before the rookies start figuring things out. Not just the quarterback, but the rest of those rookies that are going to start. I'm just like you. I want the Commanders first. I thought of Cousins as well because, you know, it's a chance to recover. And the Raiders, hell, I don't care if they're playing the Raiders week 14. I don't care because they're, like you said, no quarterback. But, yeah, the Commandos, they will always be the Redskins to me. I'm sorry. So the Commandos and the Dixie Chicks, but outside the division, Commandos, absolutely.
All right, Sage, I didn't mean to say, I just meant I wasn't going to say the division teams because we know who they are. But I understand that at least you guys did put out there your first choice would be, let's put the Falcons up there on day one, and which would be wonderful for the whole national perspective as well that the Bucs are fighting against, assuming the Bucs would win. And that's why we want them to play a certain team so they can win. I would choose the Falcons as well, but my second choice would be the Ravens, Ira. I think, you know what, sometimes it's good for a team to have a huge opponent in week one. It may be one of your better chances to actually beat them. Just for me, I kind of like having a big-time playoff bruiser opponent early. It gets your body right for the season. You're not going to face a more physical team, and you know maybe you steal one against a great club. So that's just my thought there.
You know what would scare me about the Ravens?
Everything?
They have a hell of a defense, Blake. They have a hell of a defense. I mean, even the loss, the playoff loss to the Chiefs did nothing in the second half. I mean, nothing. All the Mahomes did was, you know, they kept punting the ball and playing good defense. I worry that, you know, Liam Cohn's first game as Buck offensive coordinator against that defense, that's a tall order. Lee, not to mention Lamar Johnson on the other side. So, Lee, if Steve's looking for, you know, a gauge about where you stand in the NFL pecking order, the Ravens will give you one in a hurry.
All right, yep. Sage, I know you're out. I guess my side reason would be John Harbaugh is a lunatic. He still plays everybody in preseason, plays the starters to win. Maybe somebody gets banged up, and this is the year that it backfires on Harbaugh. All right, Sage, we're going to see you later, and we'll find out what you had for lunch.